Some people haven't been comfortable with that, but I guess I'm from the old school and think that if you get too comfortable at church, you're too comfortable. You know, I think sometimes we need to be challenged, or all the time we need to be challenged. Before I was a preacher, I always enjoyed coming to church and being challenged. So I hope this has challenged you some. As we talked about this, and we talked about God's enemy, and we talked about, of course, Satan being God's enemy, but we also saw, and this is the kind of the main theme of this series, and this is the last sermon on it, but in James 4:4, it talks about if we hang out with God's enemies or we become friends with God's enemy, we become his enemy. It says clearly in James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And then he explains that clearly when he says, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy or the enemy of God. And we know that Satan and his kingdom are enemies of God. And anyone who, as we've been talking about, hangs out with Satan and his kingdom, the world, become God's enemy. And a worldly person, even a worldly Christian, becomes an enemy of God. And that's the main problem with hanging out with the world or God's enemy. You become God's enemy. And as a Christian, you don't want to be God's enemy. He's your Lord. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and I. He gave his life, and we shouldn't try to place ourselves willingly in a position of being opposed to him. And so far, we've seen the total negativity of putting ourselves in that position or becoming God's enemy by hanging out with the world, which is Satan's kingdom. Because, as we've seen, the first session, God forbids it. It leads to idolatry, and it just makes God angry when we do that. And then last week we saw that what it does to us is it traps us, it enslaves us, and it defiles us. And so those are things that we shouldn't want to hang out with God's enemies about. And as we finish our study today, we want to look at three final reasons why it's a bad idea to hang out with God's enemies. And the first one is this: it will ruin your moral, write that down, kids, moral character. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, don't let anyone deceive you associating with bad people will ruin decent people. And a better translation of that word ruin is corrupt. It's the key word to the verse, corrupt. It means to spoil or go bad or defile, kind of like leaving something out in the sun. You remember how just several months ago it was so hot. And if you were to leave a package of bologna out in that heat for a day or two, you wouldn't want to be around that package of bologna, would you? Because it would pretty well spoil and be bad. Becky and I had dear friends named Gerald and Gladys Taylor. And Gerald and Gladys, we would have starved had it not been for Gerald and Gladys, because they believed in tithing. And they tithed their garden. They tithed their deer meat. They tithed everything. I mean, it was an amazing thing. And Gerald and Gladys were dear people. And they were the last two people you would ever think would fly to go anywhere, right? But they had two sons who were both of them in the Army. And one of them, Ed, was stationed This was before we knew them, but they told us the story. And it was stationed in Germany, and he'd been there 3 or 4 years. And oh, his mama, Gladys, oh, she missed Ed. And Ed missed her. And Ed, when he would write, would always talk about, man, he missed his mama's cooking. He missed her cooking so bad. And so Gerald and Gladys decided to go see Ed over in Germany. And the main thing that Ed missed was his mama's fried catfish. So they knew how long it took to get from Memphis to Germany. And Gerald figured it out that he could take some frozen catfish and wrap it up in ice real good and put it in a suitcase and take it with them. But nobody had told Gerald about lost luggage. And you know, who can tell me which suitcase got lost? The one with the catfish in it. So Ed was telling me about it. He said, what happened? He said, you know, they didn't get their bag. And I could tell Daddy was kind of sweating a little bit because he couldn't figure it out. And he said, man, we went back, I think it was 2 days later, to the airport. And he said, you could walk in that airport. It was a big old airport, and you could go right to that bag because you could smell it. Boy, it was rank. And those Germans were not blessed that he had brought a suitcase full of catfish that spoiled. And they had to pay a big fine to clean up. And Ed said for several years you could go in, because he flew in and out, he said you could go in there in that airport and smell that catfish, you know. And he said they'd give him a dirty look every time he came in. And I'm going to tell y'all, that's what it's talking about, corruption. It stinks up everything. And that's what happens, you know. That catfish stunk up everything in that airport. And corruption ruins everything that is associated with it. I could talk about, you know, the government corruption that we have in our country. You know, my daughter Joy's getting ready to go on a school trip up to Washington. And I told her when she gets back, she's probably going to have to wash everything she's got. It'll probably smell so bad after being up there and around all those people. But, you know, or down here in Jackson, you know, have you seen, how many of y'all have seen the commercial for the lottery? You seen the commercial? Those people, oh, we're going to have fun now. It's fun. All those people, if you watch it, it'll come out. If you watch TV, you'll see, oh, we're going to have fun now. Fun's coming to Mississippi because we've got the lottery. It's going to be so much fun. They all look like they're on drugs. I mean, it's terrible. And you just think, how corrupt have we become that the equation to fun is a lottery or some other way of ripping people off so that the fools in Jackson can figure out a way to waste it anyway, you know? And I'm going to tell you what, you find out who voted for that stupid lottery, you don't vote for them. I don't care if they're Republican or not. That thing is going to be the worst thing that ever happened to our state. You mark my words, but it shows, though, the corruption of all of those folks down there that voted on that, including our new governor. So we need to be conscious of those things. We see that kind of thing, and we wonder why everything in our nation seems to have gone bad in so many areas. Honest and good people have such a struggle in our nation, and we say, why? Why do we have to? You can't even hardly fly the flag anymore without getting in trouble, you know? Okay, here we go again. I'm sorry. Don't worry, it's her doctor. It is. It's her doctor. He always wants her opinion. I told him, I've got an opinion for him, you know. It's okay, darling. Kind of goes along with Gerald and Gladys' story. But look, here's the point I'm making, guys, is this. When you hang out with sinners, when you hang out with the world, you are going to become involved in that. And I'm not saying that. The Word of God says that. Don't let anyone deceive you. Associating with bad people will ruin decent people. Another translation, don't fool yourself. Bad friends will destroy you. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The only thing that enables us as Christians to have good moral character is our relationship with God. That's it. When we make ourselves His enemy by becoming friends with the world, it is impossible for us to maintain a good moral character. And that's what's happened in our state and down in Jackson. There are some good Christian, supposedly legislators who have been corrupted, and now you can't trust their moral character in any area, because once you're corrupted in one area, you know, it's like Brother Zeke used to say, you know, if somebody's a liar, they'll steal. So keep your hand on your pocketbook, you know. So I don't even care money when I go to Jackson, because you never know. But anyway, I want to tell you that if you have come to this point where you're just hanging out with people and because of their influence, you're doing things you shouldn't do. And I'm talking to young people here, you know. It's easy to want to hang out with the wrong kind of people, and then you find yourself doing things and you think back, I would never have done that. And you find yourself doing stuff. Businessmen, find yourself doing things you normally would never have thought about doing, but you get busy hanging out with the world, and that's what happens. You can repent and you can return to the Lord and be totally cleansed. Another reason why hanging out with the world is a terrible idea is that it's going to cause you to share in the punishment of the world. In Revelation 18:4, is an interesting verse talking to the Jewish Christians of the tribulation. It says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Another translation is, you must escape from Babylon, don't take part in her sins, and share her punishment. Here's what's going on. The people, the Christians here in the tribulation here that this is addressing, were Jewish people who have come to believe in Jesus and been saved. And God is saying to them, you need to leave Babylon because God is getting ready to thump them real good. In fact, God's getting ready to rain down fire and destruction and destroy them totally. So you need to leave, because if you don't, you're going to be destroyed. But we can also see that Babylon is a type of the world. It always is in Scripture. And that the Jewish people, we could consider them Christians or the church. And it's not saying here that these Jewish Christians are going to go to hell. Not at all. And I'm not saying that worldly Christians are going to go to hell, but it's clear from our verse here that anyone that does not separate themselves from Babylon will be destroyed whenever God destroys Babylon. And we see this happen all the time. We see people who are hanging out with the wrong kind of people. I worked with youth so many years, and over and over and over, I'd see teenagers hanging out with the wrong kind of people, and they'd be with a bunch of kids that were drinking. They weren't drinking, but, you know, the drunk was driving the car, and they have a wreck. So somebody gets hurt that wouldn't get hurt because they were hanging out with the wrong type of person. Or I'll see a young woman get pregnant. Or I'll see a guy that, you know, is supposedly a good student get busted for continuously cheating over and over and over again. And because everybody does it. Every time I've ever caught anyone cheating as a school teacher, it's always been because everybody does it. Well, everybody doesn't do it, but that's the excuse is given. And we need to be careful. It happens. And sometimes you just get in trouble when you're not doing anything because you're with the wrong person. The Bible tells God's people to very clearly not to hang out with corrupt people. Because if you do, you can share in their punishment. And I watch the news and I see the good people of our nation and in our world, and they're good people. And you see things happening. You see weird natural disasters, and you see shootings, and you see all these things happening, and some of these people really are good people. And you think, well, they're not, you know, deliberately hanging out with evil people, but at the same time, you know, what am I saying? Am I saying, and I'm probably going to be in trouble for some of you politically correct people here when I say this, but I think based on the truth of the Word of God and the way the Word of God works and seeing how God operates in punishing people, am I saying that some of these weird natural disasters and some of these things that are going on in our nation that are not explained, that are just evil, am I saying that's a punishment from God for on our nation? Yes. Yes, I am. We live in a nation that murders babies continuously. We live in a nation that has thrown God's Word out. We live in a nation that has thrown God out. We live in a nation that does not, if you even mention God's Son's name, you get just about, you know, laughed out of creation. Yes, yes, there are consequences for sin. National consequences for sin. And unfortunately, there are good people that get caught up in those consequences. Oh, well, you're not supposed to say that. But, you know, somebody says, well, it's global warming. Well, it may be global warming, but who caused that? The Bible says God controls the weather. I don't know. A lot of people say, well, global warming's not real. I don't know if it is or not. But whatever it is, God's in control of it. We live in a corrupt and a perverted nation, and we deserve God's punishment. And unfortunately, there are many good people in our nation who are getting the same punishment as the bad, and not always because they're willingly hanging out with them. But if we have the option to not hang out with them, and we do have an option. We have an option on who to vote on. We have an option on things to vote on. We have an option on what we decide to do. And we must take that option. But if we do not, then do not be surprised when we partake of their judgment. And finally, it's a bad idea to hang out with worldly people because it's going to bring punishment on you directly as a Christian. I'm not speaking of being caught with a worldly person punishment now. I'm speaking of the fact that God will punish you as a Christian for hanging out with worldly people because you have made yourself His enemy. Revelation 2, we keep coming back to that, of the worldly church. But Revelation 2, 22 and 23 says, behold, I will cast her, talking about Jezebel, into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except unless they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am He which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. And these were Christians who were hanging out with Jezebel. Jezebel's the world. Worldly people, even Christians, had infiltrated this church, and many formerly devout people were following her in her worldliness. And these people, these Christians, were about to be punished by God. And folks, I'm a father. And part of being a good father has to do with punishing your children when they go astray. Well, I don't like that. I never did like whooping my kids. You know, I never did like it. I think if you like whooping your kids, there's something wrong with you, right? But I think if you don't whoop your kids, there's something worse wrong with you, because I'm telling you, the Bible teaches us to do that. And we must decide the correct and appropriate punishment and apply that whether we like it or not, because it's for the good of our children. And I'm not a very good father. I'm really not. Don't come to me asking for advice, because I'm not very good. But God is. He's perfect. He's the best Father. And we have a Heavenly Father that's better than any of us. Do not expect Him to not punish you when you need to be punished, because He's a good Father. He's a good, good Father. So, do you think we need to be careful about hanging out with God's enemies, the world? Does that mean we're not to have anything to do with them? Why don't we just go out like they did back in the old days and build us a big old castle and all go there and live and ignore everybody else and be holy? Well, that's not what the Bible says to do, is it? You know, very clearly, Matthew 28:19-20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the earth." We have our orders. We are supposed to go and tell. And they are going to be watching us. And they are going to know are Christians by the way we love each other and love them. So I'm not talking about being mean to the world. I'm not talking about being ugly to the world. I'm not talking about that. In fact, the Bible's pretty clear on, you know, the ones we are supposed to be judging and taking care of by ourselves are each other. Okay? God will take care of the world. That's not our job. Our job is to love them. But at the same time, all through the Word of God, God says separate yourself on some level from them, because if you don't, you will be corrupt. It happened all through the Old Testament, and it's taught in the New Testament. And what's going on is we've gone from one extreme to the other. We've left the monasteries, which is stupid, where we shouldn't have been. And we've come back and we've come too close. And now, as Revelation says, they have influenced us and corrupted us. So we've got to repent of that, because it's not loving to join in sin and say it's okay. That's not loving. That's sending people to hell. We need to make it clear by our lives how we are to live. And people will see, and people will come. We have a job to do in the world. Tell people about Jesus. But we are only to be friends and relatives of other Christians. James 4:4, "Don't you know that love for this evil world is hatred toward God? And whoever wants to be a friend of this world is an enemy of God." And I need to ask you, Christian, have you made yourself an enemy of God? The neat thing is, as we were reading in Revelation 2 a while ago about the church that had corrupted itself by getting in bed with Jezebel or the world, the admonishment was to repent. You know, getting in bed with a world that ruins your moral character and causes you to be punished, but you can repent. You can turn from your sin. You can turn from your worldliness. You can turn from your friendship with the world that is making you God's enemy. You know, there's several things about repentance. First of all, repentance happens when you come to Jesus. Jesus, when he was here, went around preaching repentance. That means turning from sin. And the only way you can become a Christian is to recognize you are a sinner. You've got to say, yes, I am a sinner, and realize you can't do anything about it. You think you can be good enough. You can't. You're not good enough. Even after you get saved, you're not good enough. The only thing that saves you then is that your sin has been replaced by Jesus' perfectness and his goodness. So this morning, if you've never come to that realization, you can come and turn from your sins to Jesus and believe. He died on the cross for you. And he paid for your sins. And if you're willing, you can turn to him and you can be saved. You can turn from this world and its sin and turn to Jesus and begin a walk with him. And I'm going to tell you, you're still going to mess up and sin. Christians, everyone, how many of y'all are Christians? Have you ever sinned since you got saved? Raise your hand if you've ever sinned. Okay, did you see that? These people are Christians, but we still mess up. But that's the other thing about repentance. When we do mess up, we can repent. It's like, and if we're faithful and just and we confess our sins, then He is faithful and just to cleanse us and forgive us and make us all new and feel great and all of that stuff. But look, you must come to him first. And Christian, if you're struggling with worldliness, you need to turn back to God. You know, you just need to turn back to the Lord, because I'm going to be honest with you, you're not doing, you're miserable. You know, we've been singing it, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. And if you need to repent, you need to do that right here and right now. Let's go to the Lord. Father, as we've studied this and we've seen how much your word has to say about this friendship with the world and how it just messes us up. Lord, just forgive us. Help us to leave this place as repentant Christians who are willing to leave and walk with you and share you with the lost in our community and with our family. And help us to put you first in everything we do, Lord. And Lord, it's not a matter of us just doing. It's a matter of us just walking beside you and letting us you show us what to do, instead of walking beside the world and letting it show us what to do. Help us as Christians to obey you. Lord, I do pray if there's someone here that does not know you, that today they would ask you to save them. We pray